Hello and welcome to another episode of Review and Roast. You may or may not like it. This week we're going to talk to you about DC Universe Rebirth, the first five issues. We got DC Universe Rebirth, and then Green Arrow, Superman, Green Lanterns, and Batman Rebirth. No particular order, but we will be discussing all of them. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. Or, to a lesser extent, at MikeMiro7.
Yay.
First up on the list is just the overall, I believe, what's going to be a one-shot, right?
Yeah, actually, they're all one-shots.
And they're all one-shots. That okay, alrighty. The DC Universe Rebirth kind of opens up with a narrative by an unknown person, which we come to find out is Wally West, Kid Flash, or, you know, many different names he went by over the years, but...
Backup Flash.
Backup Flash, nice.
Flash the second.
You know, he was somehow trapped in the Speed Force, and he was trying to come out and visiting all the... a lot of the different characters from the DC Universe, which was kind of a neat introduction to the whole Rebirth, I don't want to say series, but...
Saga?
Timeline? Meh. I don't know. How do you guys feel about what's going on here?
Do you want just a brief overall, or are you just talking about the whole Wally West and the Speed Force thing?
Everything.
I really thought this was a really great, I guess, resetting of the DCU. For as much as they were able to cover, which they covered a lot of ground, considering that Wally West probably spent about 6 panels with each character when he spent time with any of them. I mean, he touches on all the major characters. I mean, he spends a few minutes with Batman, and I think there is a moment where he crosses paths with Superman as well. I know he crossed paths with Barry Allen. He skims past, like, Blue Beetle and the Atom, which I thought was pretty good. It's been a few days since I read it, so I mean, some of the other characters he run into kind of...
Well, his main squeeze, Linda.
That's the only one that bothered me.
Why?
Well, because, you know, he made mention that, you know, he's been trapped in the Speed Force before, and she's always been able to pull him out, and blah, blah, blah. And it seems like with everyone else, like, because they didn't really remember him or recognize him, that, you know, he was kind of faded, and he wasn't really able to get pulled all the way out, and then he found her, and he was... They're probably as strong as he, you know, stronger than he's been with anybody else. But the entire time she had no idea, but he didn't start fading away until she was like, I don't know who you are. But I feel like...
Yeah, but that was the whole point.
Right, but I feel like it wouldn't be like her saying, I don't know you. I just feel like just her not knowing who he is wouldn't have been enough to keep him there that strong in the first place. He doesn't need to physically hear it before he starts fading away. That just seemed a little like, yeah, all right.
Well, that was like the, you know, the nail in the coffin, I guess.
I guess. Maybe it kind of killed his spirits, which weakened his strength.
So, anywho, I thought it was actually fine the way they did that with her. Agreed to disagree.
Meh. I guess so.
I don't truthfully know a ton about Wally West. My Flash knowledge derives mostly from the Barry Allen storylines, obviously from the show and from the few trades that I've read or other miniseries that he's popped in and out of. I want to say he probably made an appearance in Flashpoint Paradox, but I don't think he was a major part of that. So. Again, I've never read Teen Titans. My familiarity with Teen Titans pretty much extends to Teen Titans Go, and that's about it.
Well, we're going to be doing Titans Rebirth, so we'll all be versed.
Slightly versed, yes.
Well, we'll be versed in the new verse.
In the new verse.
If that's a thing. Well, it's going to be a thing. It's about to be a thing. So I'm into it.
I think what I like the most about it is it seems like, at least in the DC Universe Rebirth, they didn't focus on the main characters of the DC Universe. They didn't focus on Batman and Superman. It was like you said, oh, here's the Blue Beetle. Oh, here's, you know, whatever. Yeah,
Ray Palmer.
Yeah, here's the Atom. Here's, like, a bunch of characters, like... Because I think, I don't know if it's they're finally starting to see, like, well, Jesus, if Marvel can make $1 million and reboot Ant-Man, somebody nobody gave a shit about, and turn him into one of the coolest dudes on the planet, like, maybe we should dip into the rest of our gallery here.
Let's back off just a smidge on Ant-Man being the coolest guy on the planet.
You know what I mean.
He's pretty cool.
He's close.
He's not Captain America, though.
Yeah, well, we can't really discuss that right
He's
now.
He's not Ric Flair, all right?
Have to get back on...
When he can walk that aisle, then we'll talk about him being the coolest guy.
Just wait till Paul Rudd gets the Infinity Gauntlet.
Whoa.
What?
All bets are off.
Then he shrinks it, and then he puts it in a fishbowl, and fish doesn't...
Right, it's in the little fish treasure chest.
Yeah, and then some goldfish becomes like the one from American Dad. Speak five languages, has the Infinity Gauntlet. I'll show that stupid frog.
So yeah, the book all culminates though towards the end, and I don't know if we're going to give the whole thing away, but anybody that watches The Flash and watches season 2, which just ended, there's I don't know if there are intentional similarities, but very, 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 very similar.
I think there are, because the guy that plays Cisco has been teasing the last couple days that Flashpoint Paradox is going to be a big part of season 3.
Well, it has to.
I'm not all the way to the end yet.
Right. And again, with the way the show season 2 has ended, yeah, there's no way around it. It's actually kind of exciting.
Flashpoint Paradox, I think, is so good, so I'm definitely excited for that possibility.
Yeah, get caught up on The Flash, because there'll be a lot to talk about with season 3, especially... It'll be running while Rebirth is obviously running, so it's all gonna be pretty cool. The only thing I don't like is the movie style Flash, but whatever.
Yeah, actually,
we'll tuck that away for now.
What do you mean the movie style?
The movie Flash is not Grant Gustin.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, we've had that discussion plenty of times.
I almost feel like they shouldn't even bother doing a movie. It's working so well on TV. Why even tarnish the character in any way?
Why bring that character?
That's why you should use the same cast and then just do a movie.
Again, Brian's brought it up before, and it makes sense to kind of keep it separate, but it seems like that these comics are going to be running with the television series, not necessarily the movies.
That, you know what I mean? I don't think they're going to be able to cover the kind of ground that the show covers. An awful lot of ground in terms of
it's like 20
balancing.
Hours.
Well, I'm not talking just about the time, and I'm talking about the different tones of the characters. Like, you're able to get a large piece of Barry Allen as a human, and the reason why the superhero stuff works is because they're not, like, bombarding you with it in the last 45 minutes of every episode. You get small pieces here and there, and they don't end up looking like just guys punching each other for 40 minutes. There's purpose to it, and it's more about problem solving. That's why I think the show works so well, and why I don't think it's going to work in the movie quite as well. But again, we got 3 years to wait. So, yeah, anyway, back to the book before Scott starts crying.
The DC Universe Rebirth one shot is basically the kickoff book, gives you the backstory, sets up the new timeline that is going to set up the actual Rebirth series. We'll just call it a series. Of multiple titles, too many to actually list. Most of your favorites, some of the ones you might not be too familiar with.
And we are going to be on top of all of them.
We'll have every issue.
Like, in that way, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be gross. Yeah. We're getting dirty. We're getting weird with it.
Pants down.
Yes.
Whoa.
Shall we talk about the main thing that everybody's kind of speculating?
Everybody already knows about?
What?
It has kind of taken a slight backseat to the Captain America thing, but also not really, because it's been such a huge departure.
I have
departure.
Only seen the Captain America thing. I have not seen this online.
Oh, I saw that reveal before I got the book.
Well, so did I, because Mike texted it to me.
Which reveal? Captain America?
No, the Rebirth.
The big reveal at the end of Rebirth, which kind of, if you know...
I honestly had no idea what you guys were talking about.
Well, if you know the...
It's like the interview again, what?
Yeah.
If you know where the reveal like stems from, you already got it in the very beginning. But then again, if you read it without knowing, maybe you didn't catch or didn't connect.
There's a high probability people read it and didn't know even when it was over.
True.
There are people in the world that haven't seen that movie or read those books.
That is depressing.
That is correct.
It's very true.
Okay, so the big reveal that everybody already knows about that we're trying to dance around for some reason is the Watchmen.
Dancing.
Specifically, though, Dr. Manhattan.
Specifically him and specifically the comedian.
No, Adrian. Well, yeah, okay, you're right.
And the mention of Adrian, yes.
Well, the conversation in the epilogue with Adrian Veidt.
Yeah,
right.
That was pretty awesome.
I don't hate it. As long, again, at this point, I still believe the whole inclusion of Watchmen in the DCU is specifically, A, to continue to print the book because it still sells really well, but also because I think anything they can do to antagonize Alan Moore, they'll do it. I think they love the picture in their head of him sitting in his house going, God damn it! You know,
pounding, well, I mean, throwing, you know,
stuff. And
not to be a dick, but, I mean, that's kind of a dick move on DC. Like, I don't know, if I spent countless hours inventing and creating a universe and they're just going to go, yeah, fuck you, it's ours now. Like, I'd be pretty pissed, too, so.
They've taken so much of his work and done that, though.
Yeah, that's kind of shitty. My, but, like, well, whatever, if you want to marry them together and bring the Watchmen and the rest of the DCU together, my question is, are they just going to now be squeezed into the fold of superheroes because they're costume heroes, or are they going to like be at odds somehow? Like, let's face it, the only one that really has any superpowers is Dr. Manhattan.
Well, that was what I was thinking. A good way to maybe do that, if this is their plan, is to have, because ostensibly they have multiple Earths, and just have Dr. Manhattan be the only one that can travel between all of them, and then the Watchmen exist in their own universe and their own timeline, and they have nothing to do with what's going on here.
That's almost the only way to do it.
Whereas Dr. Manhattan, because he is who he is, he can travel through times and wormholes and universes and from planet to planet. Like he said, he's walked on the... If you read Watchmen or saw the movie, he walked on the surface of the sun.
So do we think that the entire book where Wally West is like, somebody did this, do we think he's referring to Dr. Manhattan?
I think he is, but I don't think anybody knows who Dr. Manhattan
is. No, I don't think they know who he is either. I'm just saying, do they... I mean, are they going to set this whole thing up that Dr. Manhattan's the one that reset the DC universe?
Yes. My only concern with that, though, is that they somehow squeeze Johnny Quest and Scooby-Doo into this universe, because then it just gets too weird.
Are they DC characters?
For Warner real? Warner Brothers owns all them, and they've now launched a series called Future Quest, which has, like, Space Ghost with Harvey Birdman and Johnny Quest and all those weird Hanna-Barbera
Not
characters.
Not going to lie, if...
And there's a new Scooby-Doo series that also...
If Harvey Birdman showed up in this, I'd be kind of pumped.
I could deal with Harvey Birdman and Space Ghost, but I don't want Johnny Quest like fighting bad guys with the Flash and Green Lantern. That's super weird.
Probably. I'd be okay with Tom Slick, though.
I don't know if that's Warner Brothers. Could be.
I think it's Hanna-Barbera.
Was it?
Yeah, I believe
then
so.
Then we're in trouble.
Whatever. We're off.
Then
rails.
We're in trouble, because then the Flintstones are going to be in Gotham, and that's just going to get super weird.
So there you have the I guess, reveal at the end of DC Rebirth. Let us know if you think that this is all stemming from something Dr. Manhattan did. Let's get some talks going. Do you want to number this and move?
I'm fine with numbering it.
Go.
I thought we were taking callers.
Are we taking callers?
Do we have a caller on the line one? No, it's Rex.
Stupid, yeah. Jeff. I'm giving it a 9. I thought this was for $2.99, this is like 3 issues in one, maybe 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for the size of the book, it's ridiculous.
It's a great small Ulyss. Story told in a big way. Because, I mean, it's, really, this is just about Wally West trying to reconnect with some form of
anybody,
anything that he once knew or any world that he once walked on. I mean, they could have really just went crazy with it and just had like 90 pages of superhero fights, but instead it was pretty much the story of Wally West like seeing the DCU as it is and where it's going, so I give it a 9.
So do I.
I'm actually, I'm going to go with like 8.5.
Oh my god.
But no, like I said, I do like the
Wait
fact
till we get the Batman.
That a lot of it...
Shit's about to get real.
A lot of it does, you know, seem to focus on not the top 4 characters that they always talk about, and that's always been one of my arguments with DC. But
yeah, all the letters he's written to them.
It's the top 4 nothing. It's the top 3.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what I mean?
It's more like top two, and then level two is Wonder Woman, only because they want to have
three. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and then you have Lantern and Flash bringing it up.
All right, so the next one we're going to talk about is the Green Arrow Rebirth. Now, I know Mike is current on the TV show. Not sure if Brian... I'm a little behind on the show.
Brian's way out, yeah.
And I've only watched like half of the first season 2 years ago, so...
It actually, to be honest, Green Arrow is... The TV show is so far from the comics at this point in time, so it's... There is no coming back, really. At the way they've done that TV show is... Oliver Queen is far disconnected from the comic version, so there's nothing to really talk about there.
Sweet. Well, yep. Then we're going to immediately jump right into the stupid thing that Mike said. I'm the only person that saw it, so let's see if anyone else realizes it. The very first page is a razor ad.
Really? This is the hot topic?
Yeah, for me it is. It's an ad for a new razor from, like, Gillette or some shit. And then, like, I feel like they mention his beard and him shaving it a lot in the first, like, 4 or 5 pages. And then they specifically zoom in on the one panel to his razor on the shelf before he shaves his goatee for Black Canary. I think Gillette paid for some of that.
You might be right, actually.
Nailed it. See, I'm not the only one that thinks that.
No, I didn't. It didn't even cross my mind because that same ad is in all the books.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah. Because
there's also an Overwatch ad in the middle of every single book. So, I mean, Overwatch paid for something as well.
But it's not mentioned in the story.
I think the guy shaved.
You didn't see the gorilla in the background hopping rooftops and shooting lasers at people.
Okay.
Well, again, I guess during the New 52 run of Green Arrow, he was without beard or goatee or mustache. So one of the chief complaints of Green Arrow comic book fans was they want the old, like, 70s Green Arrow with the goatee and mustache back. Because even Stephen Amell, I mean, he has it, but he's got, like, the...
He's got the stubble thing.
Yeah, he's got, like, the 5 o'clock hipster shadow. He doesn't have the full-blown, you know...
Right, sometimes he goes with a little bit extra goatee, but normally he does keep the 730 shadow.
So I think that could have been, like, a thing where they secretly were like, Gillette will give you, like, prime space and all these rebirth books, and in exchange we'll do the beard thing. Maybe if you look close, maybe there's a little Gillette logo on his razor.
No, it's very crudely drawn, but, I mean, they definitely did a panel of nothing but a razor. I don't know. It's probably nothing, but if it is something, I feel like you took away from...
Well, when Jeff Johns comes
on
the show,
I think it isn't it. I think it's only something because you made it something.
It's going to be a thing.
Because I read it a couple of times, twice, and...
Right, but when we're on Yahoo.com for the Green Arrow razor conspiracy and we're getting all kinds of press and traffic from it...
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to really care about...
All right, tweet us and let us know specifically.
Yeah. Is there a Green Arrow beard conspiracy going on in the DCU?
So, and another thing that, you know, about this book, obviously, you know, he's the rich guy who has all the cool gadgets. Sounds like someone else in the universe. But
some rich guy's got cool stuff.
When he first goes to save that kid after the mother gets taken, and he meets up in the alley, and, you know, voila, oh, it's Black Canary. And she's like, hey, man, come on, settle down. You know who I am. I know who you are, blah, blah, blah. But then she spends the rest of the book, like, talking shit to him. Like,
She doesn't say that.
Yeah, she does.
Fact. Open
a
book.
I will open a book. You guys keep talking. I'll open a book.
Yeah, what I want to get back to is your whole hatred of Oliver Queen and the fact that he's rich, just like Bruce Wayne.
I don't hate it. It's just...
You hate it.
It's extremely parallel.
Well, yeah, of course. They're street-level dudes that their power is their money.
Well, that and...
You know what I mean? They're
I get it.
It's hard to...
If Batman wasn't a billionaire, he'd suck.
It's hard to disassociate yourself from the history of the character when it was written in the 1940s. They're not going to be like, oh, well, you know, for 60 years, Green Arrow was a billionaire.
Yeah, they can't make him a coffee shop barista. You know what I mean?
He works at Five Guys.
Yeah.
as a night job at a movie theater.
Okay, now, what fact am I looking for?
The meeting of Black Canary and...
Yeah,
right in the beginning.
Right there. Wait, I know you, but apparently you don't recognize Black Canary. And then they stare at each other, and then he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And she's like, yeah, it's okay. We've only met once before.
Right. Once before. Yeah, not that they have been... Not that's the whole point of that book, is the current timeline is kaput, where they are involved heavily.
Yeah, well, I didn't say they were still involved heavily, but they apparently they're aware of each other.
Well, yeah, Batman has heard of Superman, even though now they're going to have not been
on the
Justice League or whatever the case may be.
He went and saw Batman v Superman. He's like, whoa, yeah. Meta.
Yeah, you're still going to know. You're going to know of somebody or maybe have crossed a path, but yeah, they're not the same as they were.
They haven't done butt stuff
in
yet.
Current.
Wow.
Well, when they are in relations in other books, I'm assuming that off-panel, they're doing butt stuff. It's Oliver Queen. He's got money. He gets to do butt stuff. That's like a married guy thing.
Well, on that note...
I know, right? Like, I don't even...
I was just looking for an excuse to bring up...
I actually, personally, for me, Green Arrow, this one shot, and basically what these are, these four other books that we're going to discuss here, are intro one shots to the actual series. So... in 2 weeks, I think, or something like that.
You get the schedule on the back of that book.
Yeah, I think it doesn't say the exact date, but it... maybe it does. Green Arrow. No, see, the one-shot is June... The one-shot is June 1st, but then there'll be... I think it was like the 15th or something like that. Will be another number one, and that'll be the actual series. That's why Brian and I were a little mixed up. Well, he actually deciphered the whole these are one-shot things, but we hadn't read them yet. So the Green Arrow Rebirth that we're discussing today is the one-shot, and that's the blue Rebirth cover.
So now, wait a minute. If these are all one-shots, so these stories aren't going to continue on?
I'm sure they will.
These are the intros. Basically.
Because, I mean, the whole idea of the underground mole people kind of is... who are kidnapping the day dwellers reminds me of Time Machine, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
But it just seemed a little... I was hoping for something a little, like, not Scooby-Doo monster, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
you gotta take it that. Why you gotta rain all over it?
I don't know. Well, like, when I was reading it, and then they were down in the tunnels, you know, flinging arrows around, and all I can hear in my head is doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. The old Scooby-Doo chase music.
Yeah, you know? Well, as far as I'm understanding, is that these are just the setup books, that's all. And then the series will start. It may or may not go from that exact point.
So do we want to talk about like what the internet's all in a huff about with the Green Arrow book, with him calling himself a social justice warrior? Like,
sure.
Why is that a thing? Like,
I never even heard this.
Yeah, apparently people online are freaking out about, like, I don't understand why. Apparently that's a thing now.
Social justice.
They talk
warriors?
About it on Joe Rogan's podcast all the time.
What, social justice?
Green Arrow?
What's going on here?
Exactly.
Well, in the real world, people who refer to themselves as that are the ones who do the whole, you know, hands up. In college, if somebody says something offensive, they do the whole, like, microaggression thing. I think they're equating it with that.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
It would take like 20 minutes to like parse it all out. But like, I guess like on college campuses, like.
Basically, you're saying it's PC police.
An extreme strain of it, yes. Not like where, you know, okay, did you see the thing on the news a couple days ago about the woman in Atlanta who wrote this super racist tirade on her Facebook page and then got fired from Bank of America?
No. I feel like they would have promoted it, though. That's weird.
Bank of America?
Banks are bullshit.
That's
also not the point.
But anyway,
is there a point?
Some unhinged woman in her late 50s that worked for a Bank of America branch in Atlanta wrote this, like, super racist tirade on her Facebook page. I mean, like, classic old school borderline Ku Klux Klan. And then she got caught and fired, and it was all over the news. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody like sneezes in your space and you're like, you've violated my safe space and that's a microaggression, so therefore I have to... That's when you say PC police. Like,
and that's what a social like justice these, warrior is?
Well, that's kind of where the term has gone lately because, like, for example, like if a comedian says something in the context of a joke that would otherwise be offensive, like these young teenagers and 20-year-olds who are referring to themselves on social media as social justice warriors. Like, for example, like Louis C.K. is often, you know, he makes off-color jokes about rape, for example.
Oh, they're very colorful.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he'll make jokes about rape, and he's not trying to say, oh, rape's hilarious. He's, you know, taken within context.
He's
it's
also
funny.
A comedian, yeah.
Right. But he has had people on Twitter, for example, go off on him, calling him, like, a misogynist, rapist, apologist, blah, 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 blah. And that's where they're kind of going with the current... So, basically, people are saying, like, oh, this is what Green Arrow is going to be now. Someone's going to say the word bitch in his presence, and he's going to have, like, a meltdown.
No, I see, the way I read it, and maybe I'm completely off, I just read it as in he's now the defender of
people
those that cannot defend themselves.
That's exactly
well, that would
the way
be
I
the
took
accurate definition of social justice warrior. Well,
I think people maybe just took that term and ran with it and created whatever they want, as people do.
Right. That's pretty...
Because when I read it, I thought nothing of it. I just thought it was a silly term he's given himself, yeah. just to explain in way less words than Brian that he sticks up for the little guy.
Yeah,
that's just the
well. That and, again, that would be the actual definition, not the like hipster iron and wine. I go to college and cry when somebody, you know,
and I drink,
steps on an amp,
and I drink IPAs.
God, I hate
it's
IPAs.
The only beer to drink.
If somebody makes a quote unquote off color joke that's offensive, and you violated my safe space, and that's a microaggression, and you need to be fired.
And the whole time he was throwing up the air quotes, just for you listeners at home,
right? Well, I think we've spent
like
enough
Chris
time
Farley
on
Saturday
Arrow
Night
here.
Live.
Yeah, down by the river.
I make people cry.
Hey, Bennett Brower, I'm bringing him back.
Okay, anywho, Green Arrow, Rebirth, back to it. So yeah, there's the beardo the bearding conspiracy, the shaving conspiracy, the Scooby-Doo villains,
the Black Canary conspiracy,
It's this whole book is just littered with them.
Laden.
I think Alex Jones is going to talk about this next week.
Dude, I bet you if we go on YouTube, we'll find something.
I liked all four of these one-shots, and I thought, I don't even know exactly where I'd rank them, but Green Arrow was one of the ones I had more fun reading, I guess.
Yeah.
While I read it, I was into it.
This is probably the one I actually probably liked the least.
Wow.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Wait till we get to Batman.
This.
Yeah. So you want anything else you want to say, or you want a number and move?
My number and move.
Moving on. I mean, I'm in the neighborhood of the 8.5 to 9 range on this. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, pick one. You don't get two.
I get two. I just did.
All right.
I'm gonna go 8.5.
I'm gonna go 6.5.
Jesus!
Wow.
Next,
dude. You just
and he just threw my book on the floor for all you.
I'm gonna pee on it.
See that face? That is the face of disgust.
That is the face of a clean shaven.
That's
Gillette.
The face of a social justice warrior.
Hey.
Moving on.
That's hashtag. The face of somebody who's going to social justice your face in a minute.
Right. Hashtag I'm offended.
Yeah, you
Superman
are.
Superman Rebirth one
I'm
shot.
Offended. That's a horrible score.
Superman Rebirth.
All right, go.
Okay, so again, this one opens up. Technically, Superman's dead.
Correct.
But there's another Superman with a black outfit.
Alternate universe Superman.
All right, so there's multiple Supermen in this book.
There's multiple universes.
I know.
We've established this.
I know, I'm just saying, in every book, everyone's character is in it, except for Superman.
See, again, this is how the DC universe at least sort of makes some sense compared to Marvel, whereas Marvel, they just go ahead and have some weird event realign everything, whereas DC, they have the, well, we've got 40 million Earths, that's how we explain it.
Right, well, and here's the thing, too, because obviously there's no Superman TV show, but in the Batman-Superman movie, Superman died, so maybe that's where this is.
It could be.
Or maybe I'm just trying to fucking connect dots where there are no dots, as usual.
You seem to like to play detective.
I do.
Well, in the beginning, this is a recall to the battle with he has with Doomsday, which
correct.
Took place in the movie, but also took place in Death of Superman. Why are you shaking your head?
Because I said correct.
And he hates it.
Why? That's better than saying, like,
because
right on.
Because
all we just, say is correct around here.
No, all he says, and now every
no,
time
No,
I
don't
say
it anymore. You're the one that said, check the tape.
Wait, who's
son?
On first?
Nailed it. Who talked first?
Oh my god, I said
I only say affirmative from now on.
No, I'm shaking my head.
Business sucks. What?
Yeah. So anywho, Superman, go. Come on, Brian. Quarterback this thing.
He flies, he's the Man of Steel. He can leap tall buildings in a single bound. And now he's dead.
All right, number it and let's move on.
Who killed him?
Yeah, so anyway.
Probably Doomsday.
Like they were saying. That guy's a dick. They go back to the Doomsday story. They cut back between that. They come back to Lois Lane. They're in the process of building, like, not a shrine. Jesus, man.
Potato chips.
So they're in the process of building, like, a monument to Superman. He's buried underneath, and Lois Lane's trying to get him out. Like, well, it's
that was Lana Lang.
Lana, whatever. It's her.
Played by the girl from the Jams.
His ashes. His trying to retrieve his ashes to go bury them back in Smallville because that's what he wanted. Blah, blah, blah. Ish. So while she's down under in the tunnels again, I don't know what it is with these tunnels in these books.
That's where they do the butt stuff.
That's where
His remains were there.
That's where alternate Superman comes in, and she's like, oh, my God, Clark. Oh, it's not you. And he's like, I have a beard.
I'm
Superman
Clark.
Looks way better with a beard, by the way.
I actually love that version with the black suit and everything.
He's Clark.
I think he's pretty.
Clark.
That would be awesome.
Clark from Ork. Anywho.
And, you know, so they have their little, you know, discussions, and they try to talk. He talks about back, you know, in his timeline, his universe, whatever, you know. He has a feeling Superman's coming back. He doesn't know for sure, but he needs to get to a certain place that's, you know, he doesn't know where it is, and she does, so they partner up. And
They can't keep doing the Jesus Christ resurrection story with Superman because everyone knows it's coming now. So then I just pretty much got to tell you he's coming back.
Well, they didn't. They didn't do the Jesus Christ thing here. They're like, well, we need to go to get this ancient Kryptonian artifact that can possibly bring him back, even though he's dust right now.
Let's just go with the fucking TARDIS and bring him back.
If I brought Doctor Who in, it'd be a little weird, but I might be into it. So,
that's how you fix everything.
They go to the fortress. There's no fucking artifact. And so basically they left it at Superman ain't coming back, but now we've got cooler,
sorta
bearded Superman.
This is like Joe, what's his name, from the Pee Wee Herman movie as Superman.
Ooh.
What's his name?
Joe Manganiello.
Taking over for Henry Cavill. No offense to Henry Cavill, but he doesn't
have a beard. He actually would be an awesome alternate Superman.
He would.
That guy's a monster.
He could be for real. He could be like bearded, awesome Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. DC, right, if you're listening.
Take it easy, man crush.
Right?
I'm just saying. If we're going to have 45 Superman.
Do you watch Magic Mike?
Yeah, seriously.
You'd think.
I might go buy it now.
You'd think, but no. Anyways. No, I actually, for a change, I'm normally not into Superman and hate me all you want, but this book, actually, I'm kind of interested in the story now. So, for whatever that's worth.
Somebody's not. Yawning and bored.
I've been waiting to do this for the last 5 hours. You guys are dilly-dallying. So,
I was watching Ghostbusters.
Thoughts, stories, what?
I liked it. I know you thought it was a little slow or whatever. I thought it was, again, it's hard for me to rate any of these because I think they're all really good.
I liked it, but I felt like this book was more designed to reestablish the whole legacy. Because their whole, we watched the WonderCon stream when they were announcing all these books, and their whole, like, the whole point of all these reboots or whatever is we're going to reestablish the legacy of these characters. And I feel like this one really went for the whole legacy angle more than the other ones, because now Superman's dead again for, like, 4 more weeks, and then he'll make a big comeback, and he'll have a mohawk and 40 new friends, which that is coming. Well, I think they've kind of established that there's going to be a whole new gang of Superman coming. There's the Asian guy,
right?
That's going to be like Superman part 4, and then there's going to be Lois Lane's going to be Superwoman, and then Supergirl's going to be involved, and Superman's got a son now, so he's going to be like Super Kid, and then Superboy somewhere in the neighborhood, and Super Dog might come back, and maybe Super Kangaroo, I don't know. You know, a whole bunch of super stuff coming.
Lots of Kryptonians.
A lot of Kryptonians.
Where do they come from? Just the other universes?
Fucking places, the timeline.
Places.
The Dr. Manhattan Watchman alternate timeline where all things are possible.
Huh.
Martian Manhunter is going to have a whole group of friends now.
All right.
It's going to have like a barbershop quartet.
I'm in the neighborhood of an 8 on this one, personally.
Again, it's setting up things that are going to, I think, are going to be really great, but this particular issue was kind of like the prologue/epilogue/ This is kind of like the greatest hits CD of Superman comics. So.
Yeah.
I'll give it like an 8. I liked it.
Basically just said it's stupid. And
it, no, it's not stupid. It's just, it feels like something big happened right before it and something big is coming. This is kind of the thing that's going to like
the
stitch it together.
Before the storm.
Well, yeah, this
I
is
think that's the whole purpose
together.
Of the one-shot setups.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that makes sense.
I feel like the Green Arrow thing threw you right into what's like what the Green Arrow is going to be going forward. And they gave you a little bit of everything. Whereas this gave you like the previous, like what happened, and they kind of, you know, project what's coming. But here it's kind of like him and Lana Lang are like, so, I don't know, you want to go to Potbelly and talk about this? Not bad. Just the bridge. There was a hole in the bridge and they just paved over it.
Yeah, I'm again.
But it's like a good solid paving. It's gonna stick for a minute.
I'm at like a 7.5 maybe.
Oh my god, this guy hates everything now.
I don't hate it. It's just, you know.
So when did he turn into you?
Just now.
Are you kidding me? The Captain
when
10
is
over
then,
here?
Now, well, soon.
He's either a 10 or a 5, this guy.
Yeah, you guys have been 8s on everything.
I liked
eight
all
or
the
nine.
Books.
I like them.
I like all of them.
Hey, an average is 5. That's still, it was okay. So 7.5 is still better than fucking average. You guys need to get your numbers straight.
Hey, you don't have to give everything a 6, just out of spite.
I feel like I have to.
Hey, we're getting to Batman, and you're going
to...
To
like
me,
you guys
6...
Are,
Brian's going to flip the table over when I...
The table?
The
What's
table.
A table?
He's going to flip the table over when I give the number for Batman.
Or is he going to flip the Henry Cavill?
To me, 6 and below is...
That
like,
wasn't funny.
A 6 is like, I'm pretty much done, but if it gets better, let me know, and maybe I'll borrow yours. A 5 and below is pretty much like, I'm done.
A 5 was, it was eh. And everything below is nope. And everything above is yay. Done. Next, Green Lantern Rebirth.
Scott's favorite.
Green Lanterns. Well, I don't know. It's in the top 2. I don't know if it's the top favorite or if it's just the second favorite, but I'd probably go with, well, whatever. So in this one, you start out, I forget the guy's name already. What was
I know
it?
The girl is Jessica
Simon
Cruz.
Simon Baz.
Yeah, Simon Baz and yes. Jessica Cruz.
So it's you start out meeting Jessica and Simon, new Green Lanterns of Sector 2814. Right?
Well, look at you, man. Name dropper.
So it's and what I think...
You want to give us the address of the headquarters next?
127 Fake Street. So Simon try. Was... He's ex-military. He tends to want to keep to himself, not deal... You know, he feels like he's causing more problems for his family than he is, you know, benefiting them. So he's debating on, like, disappearing, but then the ring finds him, and, you know, because he can face fear head on. And Jessica's another recluse who all of a sudden comes popping out of the house one day, like, hey, I got a ring, too. But, you know, then the ring calls them both, like, oh, there's an unidentified whatsoever, and, you know, over here, so report for duty, basically. So they throw on their shit.
You forgot to mention the beginning, though, where the elder from Oa was doing some stuff.
Okay, so mention it.
I just remembered it, though, so...
I didn't, so, obviously...
I'm very fragmented on the Oa thing. I just remember the guy with the case. He disappeared into that portal.
It was probably Dr. Manhattan.
Probably, you know, you're probably right. It was probably the comedian. And he was getting ready to... I better do this down here.
So, continuing on, they get there, and it's kind of like a... It's almost like a Three Stooges kind of thing. Like, hey, you're a new one. Let me show you how it's done. And then he totally fails, and then... Mm-hmm. You know, Hal Jordan shows up. He's like, you guys both suck. That was a test.
Right.
Oh, this is what it was. In the beginning, it opens up with the big landscape of the solar system. And this voice is, or this narrative is going through all the previous Green Lanterns, i.e. Hal Jordan, Jon Stewart, and not Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, in case you're wondering.
Stephen Colbert,
Amy Schumer. Wait, she's not on
John
the
Oliver.
John Oliver. And pretty much the voice is pretty much going, yeah, these guys all suck.
Yeah.
I.e. there is a problem, or he is a problem, or that is a problem.
Right.
Mentioning all the different Green Lanterns, basically saying they're a problem. And then at the end, it's like, well, these two new ones, they're not a problem.
Hal thinks they're a problem.
Yeah, because they're not trained yet.
Correct.
What? What?
Affirmative.
Yep. So, anywho, I don't know. I mean, the only thing about this book that's like a little strange to me is, I mean, obviously, in order to become a Green Lantern, one has to die. The ring goes out and finds a new person. There's only so many rings out there. So, but they're setting this book up to be like, there's about to be four or five Green Lanterns just on Earth alone because something big is coming.
Right.
So where are these Green Lantern rings coming from? What sectors are now not being protected because they want to have so many on Earth? Is that the case? Are the new rings being made? What's going on?
They got a big boost in tax revenue, so they're expanding the Green Lantern police force.
And
new jobs, new infrastructure.
Probably close.
It's not a huge deal, but like, you know, the Green Lanterns throughout history thought that the people of Earth weren't worthy, but now we're finding out they're the most worthy. What? That's a little weak. Other than that, this was the funnest book to me, just between Simon and Jessica and their bumbling around with the rings and
right.
Hey, get your batteries. What's that? I got mine. You know,
yeah.
I didn't even know I had one. But yeah, I mean, that to me, I had the most fun reading that because I mean, I'm kind of a Green Lantern fan. I'm one of the few people that actually liked the movie.
I like the movie
for what it is. I mean, it's not fantastic, but
it's fun.
Yeah.
Ish.
Everybody just hates on that costume, and I didn't think it was the worst. I mean,
right. Well, I think a lot of people just hate on Ryan Reynolds too, but I think now because he's Deadpool, you know.
I feel like that of all the portions of the DCU, the two that have the most cinematic potential is Aquaman and the Green Lantern.
Cinematic potential?
Yeah, no, I did throw an R in there. I'm not going to pretend I didn't. But the thing is, shortly after the movie came out, they rectified, in my eyes, in a huge way, the Green Lantern television property with the animated series, which was prematurely canceled in a huge way.
Yeah.
Granted, they did knock out 26 episodes, but my God, that show was so good.
Yeah.
And they took it away. Apparently no one watched it, but I watched it, and I was totally disappointed to see that go. So my thinking is follow that idea if you're going to do a movie, which is what they do in the comics. That's the only thing the movie missed out on. It was so much unexplored territory that they just didn't even bother with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's only so much you could do in an hour and a half. You know,
that's the problem. That's why, in my opinion, the TV shows are so much better because there's so much more to explore and you can get into, like Brian was saying earlier, it's not all just, you know, fists a flying. You
right.
can have storylines. You can have characters develop a little bit more than shoehorning a movie with, you know, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, which,
but that's
again,
why
it was
you
a great
can,
movie, but it was, you know,
that's why
shoving a lot of stuff into a bag here.
That's why I feel it would be better to use those characters and those stories into movies.
Well, oh no, I'm on both sides of the fence.
You know,
so I'm allowed to be.
Why?
Because I said so.
I just don't want the movies to dictate what the shows are able to do and not able to do. That's the only reason I don't want them, because I think a lot of the chief complaints about the Marvel stuff on TV that related to the movies is they can't do certain things because, well, the movie's coming out, or the movie just happened and now we have to do this.
Well, the cool thing about Marvel does incorporate it, though, and I think that they do it pretty well. You know what I mean? They
don't have amount of TV shows.
If you guys are up on, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
not.
They completely have, I mean, every single Avenger / whatever Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that comes out is referenced to some degree, although maybe not hugely, but they do, you know, they had a couple of nice nods to the Civil War. And after Civil War, literally the next episode on that Tuesday, if you didn't go see Civil War and you're watching S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, you catch a couple, not spoilers, but they do reference it quite a bit, which I think is actually pretty cool. But
the only thing that I would like to see with the DC TV series is I would like to see them get off of the major networks. Like, get onto something where you can get a little darker, be a little more real.
Well,
you know?
I think the CW shows are really pretty
good. I think they're definitely doing well.
Supergirl to there is going to make that. I mean, they're going to be a powerhouse now.
See, and that's what I was saying, because, like, I'll admit, okay, I
mean,
didn't...
obviously it's not Netflix and you can't drop F-bombs and
No,
show
well, I'm
movies.
Not saying you need F-bombs and titties, but you know, but, and this is where, like, I didn't watch The Flash all the way through because whatever. But I did watch Supergirl, and when they did the crossover, I thought it was kind of weak the way they did it with him jumping different timelines to end up in their universe, because now they're on the same network, and they can do crossovers pretty regularly, but now with the way they set the story up, well, kind of can't do it anymore.
Here's the deal. If you read the end of the DC Rebirth one-shot that I'm slapping on the table right now, like I said before, the end of that book is exactly the same as the TV show, therefore all bets are off. So they can really almost do anything they want now, because Barry has once again destroyed the timeline, as he always does, which you would think this effing guy would learn by now.
This guy is the worst.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to another universe. I'm going to change the timeline. I'm going to do this. There's a couple of funny memes out there where it shows, like, Flash Season 8, and they show the scene where his mom's killed. Have you seen that meme? Where there's 52 Flashes in the room, you know? Just kind of because he just keeps going back to that same moment in time and seeing himself, see himself, see himself. And now he has seen himself yet again. And once again, that changes everything. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he shouldn't even become the Flash after what he's done now, but he probably still will, obviously.
He's like the Citizen Kane of superheroes.
Yeah, he's a mess, this guy.
They should have him start drinking. Oh, he can't get drunk.
That's right. Unless he drinks jet fuel or whatever the case.
Is that what they said?
They made him some kind of concoction where he was drunk for about 42 seconds and he got a hangover.
What was that stuff that Damian was talking about?
Jepsen's Malort.
Yep, that's probably what it
was. I've had that. Ew, it's disgusting. What?
Yeah. He wants us to send him a bottle.
Oh, it's not awesome.
We should have a discussion on that.
Yeah, you can try it.
Oh, I'd like to. I just don't want to.
You might as well run over to your mom's house and drink her nail polish remover. Get more flavor.
Gross.
So, anywho, Green Lanterns. I'm in the neighborhood of the 8 zone again. Probably 8.5, really. I thought it was the funniest of the books.
Yeah.
I thought there was some good humor in the Green Arrow, but Green Lantern had a little bit more with the whole novice lanterns and then forcing them to work together. That seems like it might be a fun thing to do. And they're going to have I think they're going to have two different Green Lantern books, the Green Lanterns and then Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corpse, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that yet.
Right.
But,
you mean Core?
No, Corpse.
Or you mean like Hal Jordan and his the corpse.
Yeah.
I.e., it's like the Green Lantern version of Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes, exactly.
He's gonna
carry around.
That'd be one I'd be into.
He's gonna carry around Guy, whatever his name is,
Guy Gardner.
That would come on, man. We can do this.
He just puts his hand in the back of his
that
head.
That actually would be
moves
good.
The mouth around.
Or he's gonna get two of them, so he could do like that stick thing.
Yeah,
like the Thriller guy. I'm gonna give this an 8.5. I think ever since I started reading all these mainline DC books, I've always felt like the biggest potential lies in the Green Lantern universe, because it's out in outer space, which means infinite possibilities. They have amazing secondary characters like St. Walker and Larfleeze and the Red Lantern, so I really want them to do something big with this. I really hope they don't do the movie thing and go with like a sci-fi network type show where they can flesh this whole thing out over the course of 5, 6, 7 seasons. Do like a Battlestar Galactica with the Lanterns. I really think the only way they achieve it right now is in the comics, and they were doing so with the animated series, but
right.
I've always thought the Green Lantern universe has the most potential of all of them.
Oh, of course it does. Yeah, it's not even... you know, and we'll get off this subject real quick, but the movie did a decent job, I thought, of showing other Lanterns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When, you know, they brought them to the place.
Oh,
you know, and
it's called Oa.
Nobody gives a shit. Okay? Second of all.
Oa.
Really big Oa.
I said Oa. Anyways, the point is,
oh, shit.
They did a decent job of showing how vast it actually has the potential to be. Too bad the movie didn't do well.
Yeah, they never got a chance to even really do anything with those characters.
Oh, there's so Hal much Jordan. They could have.
Yeah, and focusing like way too much time, no offense, on Carol Ferris, who at this point she's irrelevant to the Lantern universe, at least in terms of the way they portrayed her in the movie. Because I believe she becomes an Indigo Lantern in one of the comic series.
Yeah, I mean, between the interactions between the two new recruits and whatnot, and then the kind of mad scientist lantern that created the all-powerful item, I agree. This was definitely one of my tops. I'm going to give it a 8.5 as well.
Dig it.
Now, moving on to the final one, and Batman Rebirth.
Green Lantern's the only one all three of us have the same number.
Yeah?
Dig it.
So there you go. Now you know it's good.
What? Or you just know that we don't know what we're talking about. Moving on.
Moving on.
You'll Batman. You'll find somebody that hates that book.
Moving on for the fourth time. Batman Rebirth.
Give it to me.
Make it five.
Let's let Brian, because Brian's the biggest Batman fan.
Well, I'm going to start by saying this was my least favorite of the four. Go ahead, Brian.
You've said that like eight times
already. Take it away, Brian.
Take it away.
Of your disappointment.
All right.
There was a character introduced in one of the final arcs of the Scott Snyder Greg Pula run. Young kid by the name of Duke Thomas, who is now a little bit older. He comes to the manor, and he's been called there by Bruce Wayne for an unknown reason. And they kind of reveal what that reason might be, although he explains pretty early on this is not for him to be the new Robin, but another new character in the Bat family. Meanwhile, Calendar Man, who is a character that's not used very often, he was used mainly in Long Halloween, from what I recall, and he was kind of like he was used in a Hannibal Lecter sort of way in that book, which is kind of awesome, but other than that, he's not used very often. This whole thing is he's trying to change the atmospherics of Gotham to control the weather for his own personal means, so he continues to what they refer to as molt, so he doesn't ever age. He's always young. And then whatever his plan from there
is. Well, he gets old and then becomes...
Yeah, he gets old, but then he, like, sheds the skin, and now he's, like, 25 again.
He changes with the seasons.
He changes with the seasons, and he has this weather machine that allows him to do this. The problem is the spores in the atmosphere that allow for this are going to kill everybody in the city, so Batman has to stop this procedure. But that's kind of the whole supervillain and him trying to stop the weather machine is kind of secondary to what the book's main intent is, in my opinion, which is to ceremoniously pass the torch from Scott Snyder to Tom King, who's going to be taking over the main Batman book, starting with number one. Because they wrote this one together, and honestly, you can't tell the difference between who's doing what, because it's pretty seamless in terms of the way that all the stuff has... Again, this is more along the lines of the Superman book, where something big happened, and something big is coming, and this is just to stitch the two together in a seamless manner. For me, the one page with Bruce Wayne working out, and I won't tell you how, was pretty great. Something that would be pretty excellent to see in a movie at some point.
I thought that was like one of the worst pages in the book.
I'm not saying that it's, and
again, this is all opinion based, but I was just like, eh, really? I don't know. I thought there was
no point to it.
Not that it wouldn't be cool. Yeah. See, and again, and I didn't want to say that, but the problem I found with the book, with the whole there was no point to that, was that that's right. There was no point to that scene being in there, let's just say.
That's not what I meant.
But most of those, it seemed like you used the word seamless, and I thought it was anything. It was not at all, in my opinion. It jumped all over the place, I thought the book did. I thought that it was hard to follow, and maybe I'm dumb. That's fine. But it was just sort of all over the place with this whole thing with the spores, and I don't know. I just thought it didn't flow as well as you thought it did, and maybe we were just reading it differently.
Well, again, it wasn't necessarily the story that I was referring to as flowing. I was referring more to the transition between creative teams, whereas Scott Snyder wrote this for 5 years, and now he's moving on to All-Star Batman, and Tom King is taking over. So after a run on Batman that A, sold probably better than it sold in a long time, but also is like critically acclaimed, people are probably like, oh God, here we go. Now it's going to suck again, or it's going to, we don't know what's coming. And this is their way of showing everybody who's been reading this book since 2011 that nothing's changing. This is going to be just as great as it was. It was epic before. It's going to be epic again.
Yeah, see, where I personally didn't find that book epic. I found it, like I said, I found it the least...
No, this actual issue itself wasn't really what you would refer to as epic, but like it's showing you that something big is on the horizon, and it just came off something huge, so...
See, but I also don't even feel that it really does. I mean, he basically, let's just say, has to go for the spores and whatnot, but... What else is alluded to other than Duke having a super lame yellow costume, which I think is one of the worst things I've ever seen in a comic book, really. I mean, it's pretty bad, in my opinion. Again, somebody might think it's awesome, but I didn't think so at all.
Well, somebody needs to be Bat Dude.
Yeah, well...
That's why he's got no sleeves and he looks like a surfer.
I don't know. I didn't think the book was terrible. I was just disappointed by comparison to the other ones. In my opinion. That's all. You can send your hate mail to Mike at Review and Roast. It's fine.
Oh, the email that you never check?
I check it out every day.
Damn it. All right. So, anywho, back to me.
Throw it back to yourself.
I am. I am, because you guys just rambled. You guys just argued here. Back and forth for
We didn't
like
argue. We're having a
there.
We're just opinion-based discussion.
You're like back that to movie, what, Return to Me.
So, back to,
back to Scott.
The original... The first one we talked about, the DC Universe Rebirth, mm-hmm. when I mentioned that I liked the fact that they didn't focus on the same three characters as all, you know, they focused on a lot of the B-stringers. I feel like that's what they did here with Calendar Man. Like, it's one of those villains that most people probably don't even know exist. So I like the fact that he was the quote-unquote, you know, introductory villain in the series. And it's, you know, we're gonna foil his plans now, but he's got some, every time he comes back, he's technically a different person, a new DNA, new makeup, he gets smarter, and he's got something bigger planned. That I liked. The working out, like, the scene didn't bother me, but the way he was working out, that I thought that was kind of pointless. Just me.
I do agree with Brian, though. It would be cool to see in a movie-based setting, but for all intents and purposes, it was useless.
I'm just saying, he could have done that on the other side of the helicopter lift, and it would have had the same exact effect, except...
Yeah, he could have did it downstairs in the gym.
That, too. But, okay, so that was, you know, whatever, and there was another scene in here that I didn't really care for.
The diving in the water?
Yes, thank you. So the whole thing that they got to do to stop the Calendar Man is, you know, stop his machine from releasing all these spores into the atmosphere. It is under freezing water, and Batman specifically tells this kid, I can't be down there for more than 4 minutes. Keep time and keep me updated. So you see him, he's like, oh, that's 45 seconds. Oh, that's a minute and a half. Oh, that's the... Next thing you know, it's like, dude, you've been down there for 6 minutes. What's going on? Like, you just said...
Right.
Your body's not going past 4 minutes. It's scientifically, that's a fact. Here it is, 6 minutes later, no breathing. You're still swimming around in freezing water. But, you know, I mean, I understand if you would have went over a little bit and then, like, whatever, fine.
Can I ask a question?
I'm not done rambling.
No, just real quick.
Yes.
Why not get some Batman scuba gear?
That's a good question. But here's a better question. And maybe this doesn't, maybe if there's some scuba people out there, maybe you can clarify this for me, but like I know like when you're a scuba diver and you go down to depths like that, because the only reason he reached the surface is because the bomb exploded and he got thrown back up to the surface. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're scuba diving and you're that far down, you have to come up slowly or you will die. That is a fact.
Right. I don't know all the science, but you're on the right track. I know.
Does that not matter if you're not... breathing, like if you just like these people who do those,
oh, if you don't have actual air in your
breath. If it's like a
that
free dive,
that might be a thing.
I feel like maybe you can come up
I still
that
don't
fast.
Think you can stay down there for over 6 to 7 minutes. I think
he should just call James Cameron. They should have gotten one of those pods.
James Cameron has gone farther down into the ocean than anybody.
I feel like that scene though,
everyone's seen Avatar.
I feel like that scene was overly made overly dramatic for no reason when there is some type of gear you can use.
Yes.
And B, they could have just let it be 4 minutes.
They can't use scuba gear. I just remembered because the freezing water, the oxygen would freeze.
Well, even more reason that you can't be down there for 6 minutes.
Exactly.
So they didn't have to make it so long. And again, we might be nitpicking
here. If he said 4 minutes and it ended up being 4.5, perfect.
Maybe. You know, maybe.
But to go past like 6 minutes.
But if it took him, I think the number was 1:37, and he still wasn't even down to the depth yet. And by the time he was down there, was in the 6 minute mark. Even if you get exploded, which I'm pretty sure you can't get exploded and then live. But say you got exploded to the surface.
Until you get the timeline all messed up again.
I don't think that's still going to be 4 seconds. You're not, you know what I mean? Like it's
right.
You're still traveling through water, so that's still going to explode you up. And it's weird that I even have to say this sentence. Explode you up is still going to take 20 seconds, 30 seconds. You're still pushing 7 minutes. That's not even, it's not a human thing.
Michael Phelps, you want to weigh in? Can you hold your breath that long underwater?
If you're a swordfish in a way, I could knock you off course too.
It's possible.
I'm just saying, there was way too many points in that one.
They didn't have to make it so long.
In those three panels or three pages that he should have been dead.
Yeah, I don't. I think they just, like we were saying, I think they just overdid that.
Yeah.
To the degree where it's like, all right, settle down with this.
But I do like that, I mean, everyone was probably expecting something with the Joker. I like that it was had nothing to do. And I like the fact that it seems like they're trying to focus a little bit on all the characters equally and not just Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I'm into it.
But that all being said, I did like the book. It wasn't bad. I just, there were some things that were overdone.
I thought nah. Again, as we were talking about with the whole Calendar Man thing, I thought they used that and jumped around too much. Even though, like you said, that was 5 days of a week, I guess. To me, it seemed like it was months in between. So whether or not that's true, who knows?
Well, it said Monday spring, Tuesday summer, Wednesday fall.
I guess.
That's the way I took it. Because Calendar Man was, he can change the weather, and that's what he was doing.
I guess.
Again,
for me, it was just a little convoluted. There was just
too much going on for your feeble mind.
For so little going on, there was too much going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just the way they laid it out, I thought was poor.
Poor.
Again, I didn't hate the book.
Sound like you
was not my, not even close to the other three.
Even if they did like really go off the rails in terms of accuracy. All you need to do is get Grant Morrison in here to write two issues where some weird alien lizard's been controlling the timeline, and then he changed the atmosphere, so therefore 6 minutes, and that could actually be why, because the weather machine was going, maybe it changed the atmosphere of the water, which allowed him to be down there for 6 minutes. That doesn't get explained. That's the theory I just came up with.
That's terrible. But you can tell you put no thought into that.
Batman, I didn't also put a lot of thought into it. You're right. 4 minutes.
Yeah. I said
he specifically said the water's too cold to use an oxygen tank.
Right.
And he but also
the spores
said,
coming up from the machine through the water changed the atmospherics of the water
no.
near the machine. I still say the obvious answer is either A, to get James Cameron on board, or B, call C-Lab.
All right, you're just getting silly now.
I just
maybe they're going to go to Department H.
I think there was just, Of the books, I Ooh. Found that to be slightly less prepared. I don't know. I just thought that story was kind of just like, here's the story.
This is why they should have called C-Lab.
So
Eric Estrada to the rescue.
So, anywho, we'll let
I like Batman much more in the Rebirth kickoff one-shot.
Yeah.
I thought the way they had him in there was awesome, and I thought that's where they were kind of going.
Right.
To what degree, I don't know, but I just, it wasn't what I was expecting that book.
Nah.
Go ahead. You're up.
Oh, I was going to say with the numbering.
Yeah, you go.
Over to
you.
Like I said, there was a couple of things I didn't like. Overall, I did like it. 7.5.
That's high.
Okay.
I'm sticking with my 9.
That's high.
I'm in the...
You're high.
I'm where Scott was before. I'm in the 6.5, barely, maybe more like a 6 for me personally on that book.
Again, I'm not going to like nitpick the science or the story parts necessarily as much as I am. I want to see a seamless transition between two writers.
I feel like the story is what the book is. That's why you put it in your face.
Well, no, because I can't put it in proper context because I may not have read enough issues prior to this to know where they were leading to, and I haven't seen what's coming, so...
But it's a reboot of the universe. Well, it doesn't matter what they were leading
up to.
That's
kind of my point. This is a one-shot that's supposed to set the tone, and I feel like it's set nothing.
It was supposed to be the jab, and it was more of a miss.
It was... I feel like the other ones kind of set something. What got set up in that book? Tell me that.
Calendar Man.
To what end? He blew the spores up.
Yeah, and he was reborn.
Yeah, but there's more spores. Smarter. There's a pond nearby.
Ah, yeah. You guys just keep grasping at straws and aren't there, to me. Everything else was a clear, defined setup. That's all. I felt that book didn't set anything up. Not to the same degree.
Okay, really quick, does everybody give them the order, best to worst?
I don't care.
Are we going to include just the four, or...
No, all five.
Well, the kickoff, I think you just pretty much everyone has to just make the first. I mean,
well, that's we'll see. We'll see.
All right, go.
So, my number one, in order of best to worst, I'm going the DC Universe Rebirth, followed by the Green Lanterns Rebirth, followed by the Superman Rebirth, the Batman Rebirth, and the Green Arrow Rebirth. Obviously, wow. As shown by my numberings from earlier, I would imagine.
Best to worst for me, the DCU Rebirth is the best by a large margin.
You gave everything a 9. How is it a large margin?
Various degrees of various things. Lots of details at play here.
We all know his number system is skewed.
It's not skewed. There's a lot of different
ingredients.
They're
all 9s, but this 9 is better by a lot. Continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Anyway.
Proceed.
DC Universe Rebirth. Story, execution, setting everything up, 9. After that, Green Arrow is my second favorite, Batman third, Green Lanterns fourth, and a little bit behind that would be Superman last.
Wow. Interesting. I'm going with the trifecta of DC Universe Rebirth, obviously, is the best. I thought it had the best art, the best everything, the best storyline. Then I'm on the spot. I'm going for Green Arrow, then Green Lantern, then Superman, and then Batman last. Dead last.
Wow. Three completely different outside of the first.
Well, I think we all thought the DC Universe book was great.
It was fantastic.
For like Brian said, first thing off, I mean, for $2.99, you're not getting a better book. Fact, I think.
I'm heading to the store right now with $3.
For $2.99, that's the biggest, most greatest... I'll stop adjectiving, but...
is very, very, very
super
good deal.
Duper, duper deal. That's what
Well, like I said, it condensed a humongous story into a small story, but without losing anything.
And again, that was my whole complaint, is that I think that those, in the order that I put them, was basically almost in, let's just say, setup order. Outside of the fact that I thought Superman was a pretty good setup-ish, but there was no... Nothing really happened in that book. That's the only reason it's down on the list for me. There's just not a lot of stuff and things. But that's kind of the way I put my order, was in set up for the future, really, I think. But again, we're all over the board on that, with the exception of the first one.
Tune in next week for our next top 5.
It's going to be the worst.
Yeah, pretty much. So for those of you still listening, you can find me on Twitter at XHorseNX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Review and Roast. That would be Facebook.com/Review and Roast.
Instagram,
Twitter. We're on everything.
We need Instagram followers.
Okay.
Please.
So,
we that definitely being said, need Friendster followers.
Oh, yeah. And that in MySpace. So, stay tuned for the next couple of weeks as we try to break all of these down as best we can.
It's actually, did you cut it off?
No.
Oh. Well, I was just going to say, we're going to be following and tracking every single Rebirth title, and we'll be talking about as much as we possibly can. This is going to be the spot for Rebirth. Let's do it.
Yay.